Well, God bless you guys. Good morning. I am so glad to be back with you after taking July off and sabbatical. Thank you. Well, I'm excited too because this is the brand new message series that I've been kind of sitting on for a while. And the wonderful thing about July when I get to step back from speaking is I get to really plan out. And boy, I've got a lot of great stuff coming up that God's just been speaking to me and putting on my heart. So I hope you're ready for a good rest of the summer and great fall as we go into a brand new year. That's coming up on us. I can't even believe where we're at in the year. We have some exciting things we're going to talk about at the end, but I want to get right into this and talk about storytelling. So our house is about 12 years old, which is not old for a house, but it is usually for a fence. And we needed to do some repairs on our fence. Our gate wasn't working. I'd have to lift up and the posts were all broken. And so I called my brother-in-law who's in construction. And I said, Dave, do you know anyone, who do you use for fence building? And he says, Chris. You have to know the way my brother-in-law talks. Chris, I got a guy. And he says, and you know him. I said, oh yeah, who is it? And he said, it's Ben. And he said the guy's last name. I said, oh yeah, I remember him. And he said, I'll give you his number. So I call him and I said, hey man, here's a blast from the past. Chris Young, I interned at Capital Christian Center. You were in the youth ministry. And he said, oh yeah, totally. So we arranged a time. He came over, looked at the fence, bid it, came back out with his crew. And that was just this week, and he was standing there, and what should have been maybe a four-hour job for him and his crew was about a six-hour job because Ben and I could not stop telling stories. And I told a story, and he didn't remember this. He was dating a girl named Kiki, who's a Japanese girl, Kiki Matsunaga, and she was, we all went to Mexico on a missions trip together. And we got across the border. Going into Mexico is really easy if you didn't know that. Nobody checks papers or anything. You can go right into Mexico, no problem at all. It's coming back that's a little bit bigger of a problem. This was pre-9/11, and it was still tough to just come back. You just couldn't just walk back in. So we were coming across on the bus, and I stood up, and I said, I was an intern pastor, and I said, hey, they're going to get on the bus, and they're going to say, of what country are you a citizen? And you, the only thing you say, you don't say America, because there's different Americas, or South America, Central America, North America. You say United States or United States. That's all you have to say, right? We're talking to students who don't hear anything you're saying at all, right? So it comes to Kiki, who happened to be a Japanese and American citizen, held dual citizenship, which just threw her off. And so the guy walks up and says, the Border Patrol agent, of what nation are you a citizen? And she just goes, and starts crying, inexplicably starts crying. That caused a big problem with a Border Patrol agent who's like, we've got a problem. So we all had to come up with about $300 to do this expedited thing. All the kids had to pitch in. We're telling that story. And he goes into a story. He goes, do you remember in Mexico how you knocked yourself out? I don't remember that at all. We were playing beach volleyball, and I dove for a volleyball, and apparently my foot got ahead of me, and my knee went up and hit me in the chin, and I knocked myself out. And they had to bring me to on the... The funny thing was, I hadn't seen Ben in 25, 27 years, and it felt like through stories, we reconnected and became friends again. It was amazing the power of those stories. And stories are how we live our lives. If you think about how often you and I hear a story, I mean, news tells stories. News, if you watch the news, nobody's just giving you straight facts. They're telling you a story. They send reporters to have imagery behind them. They interview people who they want to hear tell their story. We listen to music, and any genre of music almost tells a story. I mean, I get why I'm not a big fan of country music, but I get why people are because it's a storytelling genre, right? We watch TV shows. We binge watch Netflix shows. We watch movies because we love a good story. But here's the thing about stories. Not all of them are life-changing. Not all of them are transformational. Not all of them have a big impact on our lives, but they do have that power. There are people with those kinds of stories, and there are times that we encounter someone's story or a story that's told to us that really profoundly affects us. But the problem is we don't think we have that story. We think that's someone else's story. We think that that story exists somewhere. It just doesn't exist in our lives. And maybe even if it did exist in our lives, we just don't think that we're a good storyteller. You might be sitting there thinking, I don't know if I have a good story or not, but I can tell you this, I'm probably not that good of a storyteller. Now, you might expect me to say, no, don't say that. You're a great storyteller. You could tell your story. I'm not going to tell you that, because you might be a terrible storyteller. But I can tell you this, that you can learn how to tell your story, and that God wants you to tell your story because you do have a story that can transform lives. Things have happened. You're sitting here today because of something significant that's happened. Even if you're early in your relationship with Christ, even if you're seeking and you haven't quite crossed that line of faith, the fact that you're in the middle of this wrestling with faith is something that should be talked about. It's a story that should be heard, and it's a story that you should be telling. Did you know that Jesus, thank you, did you know that Jesus laid the groundwork for you and I to communicate the truths that we know, the truths that have the power to change lives, through the gift of stories? I want to read a passage of scripture to you. So if you will, open up your Summit Church apps. You click on that Bible button and you'll be right there in scripture, or you can pull out your Bibles, or maybe you have an app on your phone. It'll be up on the screens if you don't have any of those things. It'll be in your notes as well. Matthew 13, 34 through 35. If you're new to the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the four Gospels, and those are the story of Jesus. And the first three are called synoptic gospels, which means you'll see very similar stories in all of those. And so it's a great place to discover who Jesus is if you haven't started doing that. I'm going to tell you about a Bible at the end, too, that I highly recommend that you get. I bought it for myself, and I really, really enjoyed it, and I bought a bunch for you guys, and they'll be available at the bookstore. Mark 13, 34 through 35, Jesus always, everybody say always, used stories and illustrations like these when speaking. So by the way, he had just told some stories prior to this passage right here. When speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never, everyone say never. He never spoke to them without using such parables. Jesus always told stories and used illustrations, and he never spoke to them without telling spiritual stories. Stories that illustrated spiritual things. That's what a parable is. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. So I want you to bookmark that, highlight it, do something, because for the next 4 weeks, that's sort of going to be the prevailing passage that we start off with. Now, there's two huge truths in there. First one is this, that Jesus's mission was to uncover the revelation of who God was, to peel back the secrets and show, expose who God was to humanity. Which means that God is typically hidden from us. Not because God wants to be hidden from us, but because sin stands in the way of you and I fully understanding God. Prejudice stands in the way of that. Misunderstanding stands in the way of that. And so the Bible says that Jesus' mission was to let us see who God truly was, that he was loving, that he was kind, that he created us for a purpose, and he created us for his pleasure. That was Jesus' mission. And Jesus used stories to accomplish his mission. Those two things are super important for you to get a hold of. I also know that you and I have the same exact mission that Jesus did. Because Jesus commissioned us and he said, go therefore into all the world and tell them about me and tell them what I taught you. Make disciples of them. Now, why would you and I go and try and accomplish Jesus's mission using tools other than what Jesus used? One of the most intimidating things for you and I is the idea that we would go share our faith with someone, because we often think that we're not going to do it right, we're going to be rejected, or that we don't know enough in order to be able to do that. And I'm going to talk about that in the weeks to come. But I want to tell you that if you can just be a good storyteller, don't you like hanging around storytellers? I love sitting down and hearing people tell stories. I love old people's stories. I love old people's stories. I love hearing old people. They have good, good stories. And they become good storytellers. I hope I'm a good storyteller when I'm old. I want my kids and my grandkids, I want neighbors and friends to want to be around me because I know how to tell a good story. But we don't have to wait until that point in order to learn how to tell our story. Actually, we're going to do that in the next few weeks, but we're going to start today. So pull out your notes if you don't already have them out, because we're going to learn together how to tell our stories in a way that has the power to transform the beliefs, the life, the faith of anyone who will listen. And I want to tell you this, the better storyteller you become, the more people want to hear your story. To start telling stories that transform lives, I need to, number one, keep in mind who I'm telling the story to. Keep in mind who I'm telling the story to. So I've told you this, guys, before, that for 18 years I was a youth pastor. I worked with middle schoolers, high schoolers, and I also worked with college-age students. But my primary ministry was in middle and high school ministry. And I would adapt my, I think I can tell you this without really surprising or shocking anyone, that the way I communicate to 12, 13, 14 through 18-year-olds is completely different than the way I communicate to 30, 40, 50, and 60-year-olds, right? Does that make sense? For instance, there was a message, and I walked up on stage. Worship had ended, and I had some leaders. There was a curtain up there, and it was blocking. You couldn't see the stage, and I went behind that curtain, and then I counted down, and the leaders dropped the curtain. And I was sitting on a toilet with my pants at my ankles, and I had bike shorts, don't worry. Don't get too much vision imagery going on there. And I preached my entire message from a toilet. And I had the kids take notes on toilet paper. And the name of the message was Revelations from the Throne. And you like that? Can I tell you, they remembered that. There was another time that I would lead worship from the drums. I used to be a drummer. It's been a long time since I played. And didn't Garrett Rass do a great job? That was his first time on the drums today. First time he's ever played. He really picked it up quickly. So I used to play, and I would get a real kind of, my throat would close up, and so Lisa would always like make me an ice water in this big purple cup that I used to like, and I had her, instead of putting water in there, put oatmeal in there, and I did, because the kids were used to me just drinking water the whole time I was speaking. So I get up to speak, and I kind of give this thing like, sorry, and I take a big mouthful of oatmeal. And they can't see that it's oatmeal, and I just do enough, like, and I just let it fall out of my mouth. I didn't tell my leaders I was doing it. I didn't tell anything. And I don't think Matt and Ashley are here this morning. Well, Matt, Ashley was a student, Matt was a leader, and Matt stands up in the middle of service and goes, "We should do something." He was like panicking. And I'm just, you know, and I'm just letting little pieces fall out now, like really trying. And then I scoop it back up and put it back in my mouth. And then I stood up and read the scripture, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. If you'll notice, I have not done those in here with you. Maybe we'd have a bigger church. I don't know. A weirder church for sure. The point is this, that I adapted my communication style. I was invited to speak at a church I used to be on staff at, a church about 6,000 in Orlando, Florida, and they have a massive youth ministry there. And I spoke all week long at the Christian high school and middle school in their chapel services. And I'm going to tell you guys something. I'm just going to be vulnerable with you. I bombed terribly. I was so rocked. My self-esteem was so destroyed after that week. I was like, I'm never going to talk to anyone under 25 again. Like, I was so humiliated at how bad I was at communicating to youth. I had just been out, apparently it doesn't take long. I was really, really bad. But the lead pastor invited me to speak in the Wednesday night Bible study, which is about 1,000 people, and it's all adults. And I was, by this time, I'm so rocked. My self-esteem is so low. I'm so beaten up by this. I'm like, I don't want to do, I was telling Lisa, I just don't want to do it. I'm like, I want to fake being sick so I don't have to do this. I get up and I start speaking to these adults and they loved me. I rocked it and I was like, I didn't lose it. I just lost it in youth ministry. I clearly don't know how to speak in youth ministry. I didn't adapt well in communicating to youth. The point is this, that you are going to be ineffective in speaking to certain people unless you have the ability to adapt your story. Because listen, there are some people that will hear you because of the kind of story that you can tell. Listen to this passage of scripture in Mark 4:33-34. Now, this is a synoptic scripture, which means you'll see it very similarly in another gospel, but you'll notice differences because it's from someone else's perspective. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations. Sound familiar to what we just read out of Matthew? To teach the people as much as they could understand. Isn't that interesting? Now we have Mark's perspective, and he says the reason Jesus did that is he would use stories to illustrate to them as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. Now, listen to this, but afterwards, this is what we didn't get to see in Matthew, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Jesus's message was always the same. It was always to reveal the character of God and the nature of people and how those came into conflict and how that could be solved. Jesus was always trying to reconcile people to God. The message never changed, but the stories Jesus used to do it always changed. Jesus used stories with the crowds of unbelievers so that he could reach them in ways that they could understand. Jesus didn't teach lofty, big spiritual things using big spiritual language. Jesus told stories that they could connect with. And then when he got with his disciples, those who should have a greater ability to understand spiritual concepts, he spent time with them and just saying, okay, when I was telling this story, here's what I meant. And he would go into it and he would unfold it and he would unpack it and he would talk in deeper, more spiritual terms and they understood it better. You see, Jesus adapted his message for the crowd. What I'm telling you is, there are different people that you're gonna encounter in your story. As you relate to who you're with, you just say, well, this person doesn't seem really to be too connected to concepts that I am. So maybe I can just tell a simple story about my life. Uncover and reveal the nature of God and how he affected and changed my life. The second thing we do is to tell stories that transforms lives. I need to, number two, never forget why I'm telling the story. Never forget why I'm telling the story. Let me read this passage to you, then we'll hop into that. This is in your notes, Matthew 13, 10 through 17. The disciples came up and asked. Now, this is interesting, just right out of the get-go. The disciples came up and asked his own disciples, why do you tell stories? I love that. He replied, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. The reason I'm reading it out of the Message translation, by the way, is because other translations almost lead you to believe Jesus doesn't want people to see the truth. And that's sort of a mistranslation. It's sort of a sloppy translation. It's a real limited translation. And the Message version does a great job of really uncovering this truth. So whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people towards receptive insight. Don't you love that Jesus does that for you and I? In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it. Listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast or prophecy repeated all over again. Your eyes are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads. Scripture according to Charlie Brown. They stick their fingers in their ears so they don't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they don't have to look, so they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. That's God speaking. But Jesus continues, but you have God-blessed eyes, eyes that see, and God-blessed ears, ears that hear. A lot of people, prophets and humble believers among them, would have given anything to see what you're seeing and to hear what you're hearing. But they never had the chance. I love that. I love that Jesus unpacks and unfolds why he says, listen, there's a lot of people who can't understand what I'm saying unless I were. So I use stories to open up doors and force open windows and to push them in the right direction. But at the end of the day, if they don't want to hear it and they don't want to see it, if they don't want to know who God is, trust me, they're not going to get it anyway. But if there's any receptivity at all, this story might move them in the right direction. That's why I'm so tired of people criticizing pastors who they think are doing gospel light. Well, they don't really preach the gospel. What they mean is they don't scream at everybody. They don't preach hellfire and brimstone. They don't beat everybody up and make everybody feel crappy by the time you leave service. I'm so tired of beating up on other believers, other pastors. Listen, there's a pastor in Houston, Texas, has a church of about 42,000 people. When I get that big, when we have a church that big, then I'll start criticizing how he does church. Because that man's bringing people in and nudging them in the right direction and getting them to investigate and look at a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. So I'm all for anyone telling stories that move people towards understanding who Jesus is. And Jesus led the way. If you looked at Jesus today, you'd say, that guy is the worst preacher ever. He doesn't hardly ever quote scripture. He doesn't preach at people. We would condemn Jesus for being a gospel light preacher. Because Jesus always told stories. It never says Jesus always preached sermons. I think it's a lot better than you do. This is a good... Man, I've been sitting on this message. It's so good. Too late. You had your choice. You had your option. All right, number three is this. We're going to close with this. Start telling stories that transform lives. I need to, number three, remember who I should be telling the story about. So there were thousands who followed Jesus around listening to him speak. I mean, literally thousands. There's no sort of debate about how popular Jesus was. And being completely honest, not all of those were followers of Jesus. They followed him around to hear him speak. They'd show up at, I mean, Jesus did some pretty insane things. He'd be walking through the streets and people would scream out to him and he'd go over and he'd heal them. They'd be paralyzed. Everybody knew they were paralyzed. They'd never walked in their entire life, and Jesus took them by the hands and they stood up and left. Jesus would miraculously feed thousands of people, and so if he was speaking the next day, trust me, people showed up to hear and see Jesus. 5,000, 10,000, 2,000, 4,000. We just have these little glimpses of all the multitudes that would see so many people that Jesus would have to get in a boat and retreat from them because they'd press in. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Some of those people were just curious onlookers. Didn't really have an interest in what Jesus was saying. They just wanted to sort of see what he was doing and maybe watch him do one of his tricks. That's maybe all they reduced Jesus to. And some were passionate and zealous religious followers. Some were political zealots who hoped Jesus would help throw a rebellion, an uprising against the Roman occupation. Some of them thought that Jesus was a heretic and that he was blaspheming and that they wanted to catch him in that. Some of them wanted to argue with him. Some of them wanted to show Jesus up. Some of them wanted to expose Jesus. Jesus had an amazing amount of people in his crowd. And here's the funny thing. Jesus had the uncanny ability to target his story to those people and make those stories about those people so that those people could see themselves in that story. Jesus enters a home and he's going to eat. He happens to be invited by a man named Simon, who is a religious leader, a Pharisee is what they were called. And he goes in, and it doesn't seem like it was a genuinely friendly invite. Some speculate that Simon was truly curious. Others think that Simon was trying to sort of set Jesus up, get him on his turf where Simon would be surrounded by his Pharisee friends and colleagues that could trap Jesus. And so he invites him in, and a woman who the Bible says had a reputation of ill repute. Others speculate that she was a prostitute, or the translations even say that she was a prostitute. She was clearly someone who struggled with promiscuity and follows Jesus in and takes a jar of a perfumed oil, an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, and wants to go to anoint Jesus's feet, wants to cover Jesus's feet. It was a sign of recognizing royalty, of authority in somebody's life. And instead, she begins to sob so much that her tears fall on Jesus's feet, and she takes her own hair instead of her apron, which was customary. She begins to wipe Jesus's feet with her hair and her tears. Now, this would be ordinarily an extraordinary moment, right? We would all look at this so powerfully, like, oh my gosh. Says, I'm getting to witness this woman in her brokenness and recognizing who Jesus is, and she wants in relationship with Jesus. And instead, the religious leaders say this. Simon says this, the man who invited him in. If you were a prophet, then you would have already known that this woman is a whore. And I can't believe you're letting a whore touch you. And she, at one point, kissed his feet. I can't even believe you'd let her touch you, much less kiss you, which is just proof you're not a prophet. And this is what happened. Luke 7, 40 through 41. Jesus said, Simon, I have a word for you. Now, I'm not Jesus, so my word for Simon would have been different than Jesus's word was. But Simon says, Jesus was nicer than I am. Simon says, go ahead, teacher, I want to hear it. Now, I don't know, you can't in this, like in text and emails and in Facebook posts, you don't get to hear the tone of somebody's voice. And so in scripture, we don't necessarily, unless there's more descriptive words, we don't really get to understand the tone. He might have gone, go ahead, Jesus, I want to hear this. Or he could have said, I'm genuinely interested to hear what you have to say. And then Jesus starts telling a story. It's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000 and the other one only owed $10,000. I love Jesus that he says only $10,000. I'd hate to be in that kind of debt to a bank. But I love that Jesus begins to tell a story and it's targeted to this audience that's watching this moment, and it's specifically for Simon. And so Simon's job is to decipher who he is in this story. Is he the bank? Is he the one that owes 10,000, or the one that owes 100,000, or is he the one that doesn't understand? And Jesus goes on to say, well, the bank forgives both of those. Which should be more thankful, the one whose greater debt had been forgiven and the one whose lighter debt had been forgiven? And he teaches Simon this lesson that it's when somebody, the deeper they are in sin, the more generous and loving it is to release them in forgiveness. And that is the very nature of God. And he's teaching through this, and he wants to. And then Jesus moves on, and in another story, in Luke 18, 9 through 10, he says, he told another parable, this one addressed to people who were confident in their self-righteousness and looked down on other people with disgust. Jesus says, imagine two men walking up the road, going to the temple to pray, and one of them is a Pharisee, and the other is a despised tax collector. Guess what? Jesus had both of those people in the crowd when he was telling the story, and he was telling it about them. Now, the fact that he used the description despised tax collector might have in that moment made that tax collector in the crowd or someone else like them feel low and feel shameful. And the Pharisees might have swelled up and said, oh, yes, he's getting ready to tell how righteous we are and how we pray all the time. And that was not the setup at all. Jesus continues the story and demonstrates how the brokenness and how the humility and how the private anguish of the tax collector is more favored and honored by God than the Pharisee who goes and demonstratively and loudly prays for everybody to be able to see. See, Jesus always knew that the best stories are the ones that people could see themselves in. Matthew 20, verse 1. This will help you understand the way heaven's kingdom operates. There was once a wealthy landowner who went out at daybreak to hire all the laborers he could find to work in his vineyard. And then he continues the story. And immediately, people know, because often they rented their land from a landowner, or they were a laborer, or they happened to be an employer who had to work with people. Jesus always looked at his crowd and went, how can I tell a story about them that will help them understand God's kingdom better? And when you begin to tell your story and you begin to share your story and you begin to uncover the nature of God, you have to remember that people don't want to hear stories they can't relate to. People don't want to hear complicated language. We're going to get into this a little deeper later, but you have to remember you're talking to unbelievers most of the time. Not all the world is a Christian. Not all the world is open to your message. And if you guys want to know, it's why I harp so much on just really staying away from politics, publicly at least. Talk about it at Thanksgiving dinner with your family and wrestle with it at home. But the moment we begin to tell those kind of stories online and social media, and we do that first, people really become disinterested in the rest of our story. Because you fall into one category or the other, and it just puts you at odds with everyone else on the other side of the fence. Don't you have a better story to tell than that? Do you really want to be telling some political party story for them? Trust me, they've got people doing that for them. Jesus needs you telling his story for him, because that's the one that matters. That's the one that transforms lives. Win somebody over to the Republican Party, you haven't changed a life. Win somebody over to the Democratic Party, you haven't changed somebody's life. You just feel a little bit better about what you believe. Win somebody over to the kingdom of God, and you've changed a life for eternity, and you've planted a seed in somebody that will affect the generation after generation, their spouse, their children, their grandchildren. You will transform culture by sharing your story, because you've been touched by the Master, because God has done something in your life that's worth telling other people about. That's exciting. That's a story people want to hear from you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We're going to close together this morning. First of all, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you want to begin a relationship with him, I want to tell you something. We don't have a corner on that market. This is not where Jesus goes to church, and you have to come here in order to find him. But I want you to know he's here right now. He's pulled up to you face to face, knee to knee, your hands in his hands. And the Bible says he knocks on the door of your heart, and if you will open it to him, he will come in and begin a friendship with you, begin an intimate relationship with you. The Bible says, he who seeks finds, he who knocks the door shall be opened to them, and he who asks shall receive. So God honors those who seek him, and if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, it's as simple as you breathing out a prayer to him. And if that's you, would you just, no other shoe is going to drop. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you, make you stand up, make you come down here, expose you, uncover you. This is just you and I right now in this moment. If you want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, would you just slip your hand up, and then you can put it right back down. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. I know you may not know me, and so it's maybe hard to trust me that I'm not going to do something weird in the next couple minutes, and you have my word. Anyone else want to do that? Let's pray this together, because there was a few hands that went up. So let's, everyone in this room, because I understand there's also people who didn't raise their hand who want to make this moment happen. Let's do it together, like every single person raised their hand. Pray this with me. Christ Jesus, I believe in who you are, and I want a relationship with you. And if you'll take me just as I am, I'll give you my whole life. I want to be a follower. I want to know your heart. And I want to know what you created me for. So I begin that journey today. Will you forgive me for everything I've done that separated me from you and your plan for my life? I begin today new, a new life committed to you. With your eyes still closed and your head still bowed, if you'd say, I believe that God's given me a story. Just because I'm a follower of him, that's a story worth telling. I don't necessarily believe that I'm a good storyteller, and I want to be because I want people to know who God is. And my commitment today is to learn to be a good storyteller. And I want to open my heart and my mind to what God has to say to me in the next few weeks to shape that in me, to develop that in me, to build that in me. If that's you and you just make that commitment with me today, would you just slip your hand up too? Yeah, all across. God, help us in the weeks to come to know what it looks like to be a good storyteller. And there's no better model for that than you, Christ Jesus. And so we make that commitment together. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.